Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Oh, good morning. Give that person next to you a bit of a nudge. I'll just do that because it looks great from up here. Give them a bit of a wink. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It doesn't get much better. Brilliant. It's great to be here. Just able to kind of share my heart with you. It's great everybody being together, isn't it? Yes. If we weren't, you'd have had no one to nudge or anything. It's brilliant. My name is Jonathan. I'm part of the preaching team, whatever you call it. I have the privilege of leading the congregation in Worthing, where we're having a great time. If you want to find Jesus the Saviour, come on a Sunday night. If you want to find Jesus a miracle worker, bring people that need one, and they'll find one. We're having an awesome time in God, so keep praying for us. Hallelujah, we appreciate it. And this morning, partly because I'm the only one left in the room, in some respects, everybody else has gone off to change the world. We have people all over the place. People in Malaysia, people in Italy, people in Germany, I think. So I am the last man standing. So that's not an apology, that's just if you have an issue with what you're going to hear, blame God. He's set us up today. It's going to be a great time. I believe within the next 30, 40 minutes, God is going to set some people free on the inside. I believe God is going to translate us a little bit. We're going to break bread a little bit later, but we're going to do that with a bit of noise. No, not that kind of noise. A different kind of noise. And this morning we're continuing our whole theme of walking with heroes. And I just want to reinforce my philosophy is that you're probably sat next to one of these already. They might not be walking at the moment, they might just be sat, they might be limping a bit, they might be struggling a little bit with the things of life, but I believe if Gideon was in the room today, he would say certain things to us and he would share his heart with us, he'd share his experience with us. And I just want to take some time to download just a few things that kind of God has spoken to me about, but also experiencing putting God's word into practice. I believe to be a hero, all you need to do is hang on 5 minutes longer than everybody else around you. I believe to be a hero, all you need to do is to trust God a little bit longer than everybody else's. I believe to be a hero, you need some fundamentals. The first thing is you need to know who God is. And I just trust that in his next 30 minutes, 35 minutes, you will understand in a new way who God is, but also maybe who he isn't. Particularly if you don't know Jesus at all, maybe you kind of come with a friend this morning, maybe you've just turned up because you just love the building and you love us. I don't blame you. But I want to give you an opportunity to find out God for yourself. Because I believe this is kind of part of what Gideon did. Gideon lived before we did. I know you might have a shock. That might not be the most important thing you've seen, particularly if you looked in the mirror this morning, first thing. You might have thought you looked 1,000 years old, but you're not. Okay, be assured of that, you're not. But Gideon lived around, I don't know, about 1150 BC, before coffee, that means. Our senior pastor doesn't like coffee. He tells me off for drinking coffee, so I tell him off for drinking leaves. Sweepings. Anyway, so Gideon was about the sixth judge of Israel. And he was interesting, his birth. I don't know, you probably all have had Gideon at a Bible school, maybe Sunday school, maybe Friday school, maybe whatever school you've had. But I guess Gideon is possibly one of the most talked up people there is, particularly when we're growing up through kind of youth, preschool, early school. But I found some interesting things about Gideon. I just want to share some of those with you. Gideon had a tremendously powerful dad. He was actually called a great warrior. And I do think sometimes for some of us, for you, for me maybe, sometimes part of our challenge, and this is where Gideon can help us, is that sometimes we're living under the reputation of our predecessors. There may be some people in the room where the reputation of your history has already started to go ahead of you a little bit. And maybe that's put some pressure on you. I think it put some pressure on Gideon. Gideon's dad was a warrior. He knew how to get stuff done. He knew how to fight the fight. He knew how to get the victories. But that was not Gideon's now. It was his yesterday. And I just wonder whether it might be helpful to know from Gideon, actually, you don't have to live under the reputation of parents or children or family or history. You don't have to live under the reputation of where you came from or who you belong to. I love that. And we find that in this early part of the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, where most of this story is that Gideon sometimes gets a bit of a bad press from people. Maybe you've done this, maybe I certainly did this, where he's just doing what he knows how to do in the best way he knows how to do it. His whole nation, his whole culture is getting dominated by a whole bunch of hooligans called the Midianites. Go boo. And just let me tell you something about the Midianites. The word Midian means trouble, strife, and pressure. I suspect the Midianite kind of thing might be affecting some of you this morning. Maybe some of you brought in a bit of trouble, strife, and pressure. I have no idea. All I know is that in Gideon's now, his whole generation, his whole culture, every single day they were looking for someone to come and steal from them, rob from them, and destroy from them. It says in Judges 6 that these Midianites were so thorough that they pulled up all the crops, they pulled up all of the livestock to make sure what? That people's now and their future was taken from them. There might be some people like this in the room today. You feel a bit like that. Maybe you think the world's out to get you. Maybe you think that there's all kinds of circumstances that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And maybe just like Gideon did, he did the best thing he knew how to do in the best way he knew how to do it, which is he determined in his heart, I'm not going to let my wheat crop get nicked from these Midianites anymore. I'm going to go into the wine press, which was about 2 months too early for wine, and I'm going to begin to work on it so I can actually begin to invest in the future. So actually, I think Gideon was pretty smart. He actually took hold of the provision, if you like, the welfare that God had provided over that past season into the future one. He said, I'm going to look after this in the wine press. Maybe you're just doing the best you can with the best you know how to right now. But let me tell you, just like Gideon, God is going to speak right into your pressing situation. I love it that we find a parallel, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later before we break bread, is that wherever there's a time of pressing, the Gideon spirit will come out. Amen. If you're in that sense right now that your head's getting pressed, your body's getting pressed, you're just doing the best that you can with what you know how to do, let me tell you, today is your day of deliverance. Let me tell you, today that Gideon spirit wants to come out of you and will come out of you by the time we're done. I believe Gideon would say this, don't worry about your past. God's got a tremendous future and a destiny for you. It might only look like a piece of wheat, but if you do the right thing with it, it can grow and prosper and multiply. I believe Gideon would say, even if you're just doing what you know how to do in the way you know how to do it, I'm about to intervene. Are there any believers in the room? Apart from me in the pulpit. The pulpit's excited. Hallelujah. So Gideon would say, get a grip. The enemy deliberately positioned itself, it goes on in Judges 6, to oppress. They camped in the land. There's a sense of permanency. There's a sense of, well, this is it then. You may have come in the room where you just think you're trying to push concrete uphill. I have no idea. Maybe you think that whatever you're doing is just something coming back at you 10 times more than you have. Well, let me tell you, today's your breakthrough day. Let me just say to you today, that Gideon spirit, that walking with hero, that spirit that was in Gideon, as we'll see in a moment, is available today. Amen. And we'll prove that through the word of God, which never lies. Amen. Hallelujah. You having any fun yet? Yes. I'm having fun. In fact, the Midianites and the Amalekites, who were big geezers. Amalek, Goliath was part of that tribe. He was a big bloke. I mean, I don't know whether it was smart for David to hit him. He was too big to miss, right? We're not talking about David, but it's like, cool, mate. If you miss that, you shouldn't be throwing stones. But it says in Judges 6 that there were so many of them, they looked like locusts. Now, God's got an issue with locusts, which is why when we were talking about Moses, he sent a plague of locusts to out-locust the locusts of Egypt. Because locusts, they just want to eat everything, destroy everything, and have no care about tomorrow whatsoever. What they're interested in is feed me, feed me, feed me. And these people were like that. They just wanted to consume all the goods and all the valuable and everything that God had invested and everything God had put into people's hearts and lives. These locusts, they just wanted to consume it all. Now it says right at the beginning of Judges that the people of God, they just started to muck around a bit and not really follow God in the way that they should. So you could say, well, these guys deserved it. And maybe they did, but we've already sung about the mercy of God. And what I love about the mercy of God is that we don't get what we deserve. We don't get it. So maybe Judges 6 should only be 3 or 4 lines, which is, people of Israel did evil in the sight of God, the end. Judges 7. But God comes in as a God of mercy, and God is the same God of mercy today. God wants to reveal his mercy to you and to me and to our households today in a new way and in a fresh way. Is that okay? It says, the angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah. That's not Winfrey. That's another one. That belonged to Joash. All these funny names. Man, I'm glad we speak English in the New Testament. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, I don't know how many of you have got this on your fridge magnet. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And every time you come in the fridge, you're feeling hungry, you're feeling poverty-stricken, that you see your fridge speak to you and say, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. How many of you have got... Yeah, some of you have got. Peter Callum has. He's a chef. Of course he has. Can I just suggest that every time God looks at you, he sees you as someone that you're not yet today. Can I just suggest this to you, that every time God looks at you, even if you don't know God today, even if you don't know who Jesus is today, God still looks at you, not today, but where you will be. God still looks at you as if your potential is about to come out. I think Gideon would say to us, look up as well as looking out. Because God was able to set up this wine press, set up Gideon and come and say, I'm with you. I believe today God wants to do that with many people here. That it might feel like it's pressing. It might feel like things are being robbed. It might feel like there's trouble and strife, which is not just Cockney for a wife, all right? It's not that, okay? Hallelujah. It might just be that you feel the pressure. But let me tell you right now that God is looking at you and saying, I'm with you. Gideon would want us to know, he never leaves us, neither does he forsake us. We already know that the people have forsaken God a little bit, but God had not given up on his people and he will not give up on you. Ooh, I'm enjoying this. Charles is enjoying this. That's enough. Two of us. Amen. So the best that Gideon knew how to do is what he did, and he stewarded that little bit of provision. But then God came in and began to enlarge it. But he began to enlarge it by enlarging him. And I think God wants to do that with you and with me. You don't know just how much you've got until God knows how much of you he's got. We'll never really know just how much we can do until we know that God has everything that we have and everything that we can do. And I believe that's going to happen to people this morning. As a result of this, it's almost like Gideon became inspired. It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What does that mean? It means God gave him power to do what Gideon couldn't do. And I believe Gideon would say this to you and to me. There is always power to do the right thing, even if we can't do it in our own strength. And we know that this is true. The Bible says so many times, in our weakness is his strength. But let me tell you something. That's only true when God is in our lives. Without God, without the Lord is with you, we're just trying to do the best we can and it's tiring and it doesn't produce much. But when you know the Lord is with you, hallelujah, everything changes. Everything changes. Everything can be transformed because of the presence of the Lord. How many of you know that that's true for you? Excellent. But he became like a new person. He had this divine empowering. Where did that come from? His parents? No. Where did it come from? His father's reputation? No. Where did it come through? His country and his culture's reputation? No. It came just because he did the best he knew how to with what God had given. And suddenly God enlarged it. Oh, come on then. Doesn't the Bible say, didn't Jesus say this? Many, many years after this, if you just have faith, as small as the smallest seed known to humanity, put one cough and it's gone. But where's it gone and what's it going to do? I love that. Gideon would say, man, don't look at what you haven't got. Look at what you have. You just need a seed. It might not look that sight now, but I tell you, you blow it in the right place. And you'll be eating off that for years and so will everybody behind you. It says that their camels were so many that they couldn't be counted. They were more than the sand on the seashore. I was down the seashore last week, went to Shanklin, the Isle of Wight, with one of my grandchildren. He's 9 months old, and I almost managed to bury him in sand. I say almost in case there's, you know, people don't like that here. I didn't bury him in head first. I buried him in feet first, okay, just so you're okay. And it was a sunny day. We actually got sunburnt 2 days. It was raining here, wasn't it? Don't want to rub it in at all. Raining, sunshine. But this little chap's name is Max, was sat in that little hole. And I was just doing what I was normally doing. And God just said to me, look at him again. Why? What's he done? Does he need a new nap? I mean, what? God said, do you see him owning this beach? No, he's only 9 months old. God said, why not? Because I do. He says, I see him owning people, places, being a man of faith, being a man of vision. I said, but wait a minute, he's only 9. He said, not from here, he's not. Do you understand that? I think God speaks a little bit like that about you and about me. You don't have to be buried in the sand. You just got to keep your head above it. It may be. At the moment, for some of you, that's just the best that you can do. Let me tell you, right in this time, there was so many camels, so much oppression, so much trouble, so much strife. It says that Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend of his dream. There will always be someone around you that's got a dream bigger than yours. There'll always be someone around you, Gideon will tell you, that God will speak through if you can't hear him. There'll always be someone around you that will keep you connected to the grace and the mercy of God. Even if you don't feel like you can, there'll be someone around you who can. Get in a small group, see if it works. There'll always be someone around your life who hears God, not just for them, but for you. I can guarantee it. This is how God's made the body. This is how God's made the church. This is how God has made this great nation called the body of Christ. There'll always be someone around you who gets a dream which you can fulfill. It gets a vision which you can't see. That's God. I think this is good. What's the time? It's only 10:02. We've got hours yet. Mama, I love you. You need to get up a word in, mate. Come on. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the word of God. God has given the Midianites and a whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. Why? Because Gideon already knew he could do nothing without God. He was nothing without God, but he wasn't without God. Do you understand that? Sometimes we go through life trying to make ourselves nothing. We try to talk about ourselves in a certain way. We try and talk about ourselves less. Rather than talk less about ourselves. Can I put it that way? Did you get that? Well, you're a hero, though. Of course you get it. We're all coming to Sugar and Salt. We're going to book a table for 500. Is that all right? And I should tell Rachel that it's all right. Sally's paying. I've got a wallet for a pay. Oh, have you? Yeah. Does that come on the recording? Can you turn it up? Okay, Fred says we got it. Your wallet must be huge. He returned to the camp of Israel. This is Gideon. And he said to the people around him, get up. This is kind of part of the key thing I think Gideon wants me to share with you. Is what came into my heart the most. Is that the body of Christ, the church, is one of the greatest team of greats you'll ever be part of. The body of Christ is the greatest team that you will ever be part of. But even with the great team, you still sometimes need someone to come and say, get up, let's go. Sometimes you just need one voice that's a little bit more positive, even though they've been pressed a little bit, even though they've had to fight a little bit. But man, they've just stayed faithful. And Gideon would say, be the voice. Just be the voice over your household. Be the voice over your marriage. Be the voice over your workplace. Be the voice over your family. Be the voice over your broken heart. Be the voice over your disease. Be the voice over whatever's trying to steal and kill and destroy from you, saying, come on, let's get up. Oh, I can hear a hallelujah at the back. Something's happening. It's a student. We love students, but I couldn't eat a whole one. But God will always speak. He'll always release something for us to believe in. And I know this is true. How many of you read Psalm 23? Even though we walk through the valley of a shadow of death, a shadow's never killed anybody. Come on. Death by shadow. Yeah. The shadow snuck up. We're not Peter Pan. That was sharp. I tell you, that was... But there was a process, a journey that went through. Why? Because God was going to make sure that at the end, when all things were done, when all things were worked through, God was going to get all the credit. I think that's right. I don't think Gideon had an issue with that. I don't think I have an issue with that, and I trust that you don't have an issue with that. At the end of all things, God is still there. Just a reminder, particularly if you don't know what the Bible is. The Bible's your history, it's not God's history. God was before this was written, he'll certainly be around after it's written. The key with this is that God wanted Gideon to know, he said, mate, this is going to be so successful. But when the world reads about it on the press, on their smartphones, on their stupid phones, on their media, on their Facebook, YouTube, YouFace, Twitter, or YouTwitface, if you put them all together, whatever you call it, where, you know, that's the biggest response I've had. I'm going to just tell jokes. Sorry. They're going to put this up online tomorrow and everything. When you go through and you do what you can do, let me just tell you, at the end of it, God is still going to get all the credit for it. Quite right too. Man, it's just us. But it's not just us, he's God. But let me tell you, God showed Gideon, I'm going to do this in spite of you, but I actually want to use you in it. And I think Gideon would want you to know that. And Gideon's been telling me about this. He said, okay, you can do great stuff, but I can do great stuff through you if you let me. You can do all kinds of things, but I can do even more all kinds of things if you let me do it through you. And we find this tremendous kind of interlude here where we start off with 30,000 willing people. Except by the second day, 22,000 weren't quite as willing as they thought they were when they started. Why? Because God doesn't want to capture our excitement. He wants to work with our intention to win. God doesn't just want us to be excited. Woohoo! And then tomorrow it's like, oh, my mummy. God wants to capture our intention. Because that stays. So God said to Gideon, right, just do this. Ask people if they're afraid. Why is that? Well, it's a commandment in Deuteronomy 21 to 8. People get warned they're afraid, let them stay at home. So he just did the first thing. And 22,000 people said, here I am, Lord, but send them. Anybody know what that feels like? Yeah, if it's you saying it or if you're the them that they're talking about. Yeah, hello there. 10,000 people stayed. 20,000 took the short road. Out of that 10,000, 9,700 kneeled down. 300 didn't. I believe the 300 didn't is important, not because of their dietary requirements or whether it was Evian or whether it was tap water. It's about the fact that they were alert and they were watching. They kept their heart open. They kept their eyes open. They knew that they were on a journey, a destiny. And it just wasn't about their own self-satisfaction. They were keeping an eye out on the other 9,700 people. And I think God said to Gideon, use the ones that are here for the long term, not just the water. I think God said to Gideon, use people here that are determined to go with you all the way. And if you didn't stop to drink, they would still go with you. How many people like that here? We just don't want a little drink. We want a whole lot, right? We don't just want a little sup. We don't just want to have a little pray. We want to pray till we get the result, till we change something, till we transform society. Is that okay? We don't just want to come on a Sunday so we have a little... No, man, we don't go out so we're transforming people for the glory of God. Is that not right? Is that the kind of church I'm part of? I thought it was. And we find here that Gideon ends up with 300 people. But let me tell you about these 300 people. They were outnumbered 450 to 1 and they couldn't give a rip. Why? Let me just remind you of something. There are still more for you than against you. 450 or one? You are joking. I don't expect to have a counting. 1,000. But this is a reality. There were 135,000 Midianites and there were 300 who represented the call, the destiny of God. I think God trusts a lot with a few. Like you. I don't just mean in terms of numbers, but in terms of how we see ourselves. Yeah. Well, there's only me. Yeah, I know, but if you trust God, that's enough. But it's only my household. Yeah, I know, but if you give yourself to God, that's more than enough. Yeah. But I'm the only Christian in the workplace. Then be the Christian that changes the workplace. Yeah. Everybody hates me. Oh. Then love them back, see what happens. So for me, it's not just a mathematical exercise. There's a whole process here that just reminds me to remind you. There's enough people in this room to transform our 25-mile radius in God. Amen. Thank you. Two of us agree that. There's enough people sat on your road to transform the place you live in. There's enough people sat next to you to see a transformation over your household. There's enough people sat on your seat to make a difference. The body of Christ. I think it's God's design where heroes gather and grow and nurture and provoke each other to great exploits. I believe that the body of Christ, the church, is a place where we grow the quickest and we grow the most effective in the things of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Anybody else agree with that? Yeah. Because a great team will always be better than a team of greats. God wanted to give Gideon a great team. Not just a team of 300 great people who would do this. No, he wanted to give them a great team. I believe the body of Christ is a great team. It's so awesome, not only to belong to Jesus, but also to the body of Christ. That's incredible. Then we find this probably the most famous bit of the story where Gideon and his 300 men, he divides them into hundreds. I mean, come on, Gideon, having a laugh, right? Now the odds have changed a little bit more, but let me tell you, they now carry with them the greatest potential, the greatest offensive dynamic that is known to man and to known to everything that isn't man, and that is a heart for God and a light in a clay jar. Now, I don't know. I mean, Tim, I don't know whether Tim Arnold's here or whether the sound engineers are here. I don't know how many of his 135,000 people were going to get killed by sound, by trumpet. Oh, I all die of trumpet overdose. I have no idea. I mean, Rao's at the back. I always love listening to him. But I mean, there might be some people, it's like, oh, bang, you maybe just explode because it's so bad. But I don't think God puts his in here because he was going to destroy 135,000 people just from a sound overdose. I don't think so. But it says this. Gideon and 100 with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hand the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted! I think this is what had the biggest influence on every enemy. I think it was this that had the biggest impact on all these people. A sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Come on, I think that's awesome. Can I just tell you something? In the New Testament, it says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let our light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light in the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have this great treasure in jars of... Can I just tell me, you're the most dangerous thing that God has today to every Midian spirit. Amen. You are the most dangerous person that there is to every spirit that wants to strive, trouble, and oppress you. It's called the light of God. It's called the spirit of truth. And if you know Jesus, you have those things in you. All we've got to do is break the thing and say, oh, for Jesus! Hallelujah, for Jesus! Now you sound like Sunday night. It's not about the outward, but the inner attitude. Yes. God's not interested in our capability. He wants to extend our capacity. Amen. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. We find in Gideon the perfect power of God being moved through very imperfect people who knew the Lord was with them and knew that they were going to win. We're going to take communion in a moment. I just want to remind you of another story, of another wine press. This one was called Gethsemane. Except this wasn't there to press wine, it was there to press olives. But in a moment of time, the greatest warrior ever, the greatest superhero ever, was pressed. And in that pressing, the Bible says, he defeated every foe, every enemy, every strategy that opposes you, every spirit of strife, trouble, depression, oppression, cancer, AIDS, sickness, disease. He took those pressings and broke the power of those things. In that same moment, Jesus took the pressing of death itself and broke the power of death itself. And as we break bread this morning, I just want to remind you, the Bible says this about what we're about to do. Every time we break bread, every time we share in this meal, we remind ourselves of things. Jesus says, every time you do this in remembrance of me, I just want to give a few examples of what we're going to remind ourselves of. First thing, God is with you. If you've given your life to Jesus, it's true. If you haven't, it can be. But God wants to be with you if you don't know Jesus personally. If you do, God is with you. And if God is with you, who can stand against you? Second thing is, if God is for you. Well, I hope you got some echo in the room. I like it. Let's remind you of another thing. God always leads you into triumph. That is not a 1950s motorbike. It is a place of freedom and celebration and victory. You might have to walk through a valley of death, but out the other side is life and light eternal. Hallelujah. And here's another thing. Even if you're feeling like it's just too tough, he will still set a table in the presence of your enemies. He will still set a table in the presence of your enemies. And it's this. Let's just all stand up, shall we? I don't know, you might be in a great place. You might just be having a right old time with Jesus. You may be having a rubbish time with Jesus. But let me tell you, Jesus has changed not at all. You may not even know who Jesus is. You might just think, oh, I don't know, he's somebody I used to swear about. I have no idea. But let me tell you, Jesus still thinks you're great and he still loves you and he still died for you. Whatever you thought of him, he still thinks very well of you. But it may be that in these next few minutes you want to find out a bit more about how can I find out this Jesus personally. Well, you can. I'd love to chat with you. Gary, who led the meeting through, would love to chat with you. There's two or three here. We'd love to chat with you in a moment. But I just want to bring this part together just by this is a celebration of victory we're having here. When we take this bread, we remember he has died, he has risen, and he will come again. We remind ourselves that not even death could hold him. Not even sin could hold him. Hallelujah. No sickness could hold him. But by his wounds, we are healed today. And I would want Gideon to tell you this as the last thing. Oh, we're going to go and do this. We're going to change our society. It's not by effort. It's by the Spirit. Just close your eyes. It all goes dark. It's all right. Father, I want to thank you so much that you see us as mighty warriors, even if at the moment we're mighty warriors. Jesus, I thank you that right now you see us as giants in the land, even if we feel like grasshoppers. Jesus, I thank you that right now your love, your power, your word reminds us that the Lord is near you, mighty warrior. The Lord is near you, mighty warrior. And I thank you that as we celebrate this meal, just like you celebrated it, you gave thanks and you took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. It's given for you. It's given for you. It's a gift of victory. It's a gift of breakthrough. It's a gift of destiny. It's a gift of life and health. And after supper, you took the cup and said, this is my blood of the new covenant. I'm renewing it in time and space. I'm for you. I've opened up a way for you. My blood has purchased you for God. My blood redeems. It restores. It heals. This is a victorious celebration this morning. Oh, come on, let's give him some praise and celebration this morning. Oh, we're going to celebrate. Oh, with shouts of joy and with words of praise. Come on, raise a shout, people. Celebrate everything you've done. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, oh God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.